Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Katie Weaver Show. This is Katie. I'm your host. I want to welcome you. If you're listening live, it is the 22nd of October at about 11 a.m. Pacific time. If you're listening to an archive or a replay, I want to also welcome you to the show. I want to let you know we're over in the chat room. You can find that by heading over to 12radio.com. Click on the chat button and you'll be redirected into the Facebook chat. It's a private group, so you may need to join it, but you'll see my banner pinned to the top of the page and other people chatting there. That's a great place to ask a question or contribute to the conversation, say hello, and the like. I'm also live streaming this event. You can watch rather than listen if you would like to, and you can do that by going to YouTube or Facebook. Look for Katie Weaver Domestic Mystic, and you'll find my live stream there. I do have my eyes on all of the different places that you may be commenting, so I should see it regardless. So thank you for joining me. I want to say hi to all the chatters that are filing in here. I hope you guys are having a good start to your week. That was quite the full moon a few days ago. Man, it was gorgeous here. Of course, our moons in the fall are really something, but yeah. Gorgeous stuff. But I hope you guys all did well with it and got to see it too. I will tell you, this is probably going to be a short show today. You know that I'm also a true crime podcaster, and we have three trials going on right now that we're tracking, and it's a lot. And so I've been in trial mode all day. I almost didn't do the show at all today, and then I went, you know, I don't want to do that. I don't want to take that step away from my metaphysical community. And I also have an awesome episode of Luminous put together for us to go through and some things I want to talk about. So I'm here, but we may cut it a little shorter than normal today. We'll see what happens, but that's kind of what I'm thinking about. Boy, we're seeing signs of early winter here. Freezing pretty hard at night, and the pigs are already trying to start hibernating. You guys, the pigs did the weirdest freaking thing. So the way my house is arranged, our back porch, that's where the dog door is and the back door is, and you know, the piggy door. Our dog door is actually a pig door. So it's got to be big enough for pigs to get through. But that's also where the pig's bed is on the back porch, so that I can close all other doors and contain them to the back porch and backyard when we're not home. You know, we've learned that the hard way over the years of them destroying property and me getting completely done with that. So this is how we keep them now. And of course, during the day, the doors are open and they can come and go. And even in the winter when it gets really cold, then the doors are open to make sure it stays warm enough down there for them. But this has worked for us for the last couple of years since we made this change, and it's worked really well. But they shred a blanket. Everything you give them, they shred and kind of build into a big nest. And outside, they have a big nest that they've built out of pine needles. We have two enormous old pine trees that have created so much shade in that corner of the yard that it's pretty much all it is. And there were decades of pine needles under there that have just, you know, have a huge carpet of pine needles. I've always just left them alone until the pigs discovered them a couple of years ago. And they work every day on their bed out there. And you know it because they come in and they've got a pile, literally, of pine needles and dirt and shit on their snouts. Cracks me up. But anyway, until they shake their head in the kitchen. That's not as funny. But at any rate, so they've gotten really big into, you know, kind of building their bed. And they sleep on it for a while and then they get up and work on it some more. And they do this all the way until it snows. Or it starts to get cold. So it's already started to get cold. So now they're more concerned about their bed in the house. So their bed in the house, because every bed we've ever given them, they shred. They obviously want a big shredded pile of something. So we've just started giving them a big blanket that we're done with. That doesn't have, like, it has to be, it can't have stuffing in it. Because that's not good for them. And so they usually get some kind of a big fleece blanket of some sort. So their blanket, they've been working on for quite a while. And it makes me think that we probably need to give them a new blanket, because, you know, what's lurking in that blankie they've been sleeping in for a year. So we swept it all up, threw it away, cleaned it, you know, just cleaned their room in general for the fall, and gave them a new blanket. And I figured that they would immediately start shredding up that blankie, but they didn't. Instead, they started hauling in dirt, not dirt, but dirt just on them, but like leaves and sticks and stuff from the backyard and adding them to that blanket. And I was like, okay, well, that's weird, but I guess if they're happy, I don't care. That's down there. It's not coming up into the main house. Like, I can live with that. Then I go down there a couple of days ago, and there is a literal pile of garbage. These pigs stole a trash bag that had garbage in it from the greenhouse, drug it through the piggy door and to their bed, and shredded it up to add to their bed. Figure that out. So obviously, their bed got shaken out, and now they're starting over. And hopefully not to, make a garbage pile, because that's not going to work out. But isn't that wild? They've never done this before. And they're 6 years old. But I guess the time is now, so that's what they did. But I'm still so entertained and puzzled by that behavior. But anyway, that's what went down. They don't sleep the whole winter away in the sense of, like, not getting up for meals. You'll never catch a pig that doesn't get up for a meal. But they sleep most of the winter, yeah. In the mornings, when the snow is on the ground, in the mornings when we get up, they will eat. They'll run outside and go potty. They'll come in and go directly back to bed until early afternoon. Then usually they'll get up and go outside again, come upstairs, wander around for a minute to see what's shaking, see if anybody's cooking anything or going to feed them anything. And they'll go back to bed, likely until bedtime or till dinner time, which is about 8. And then they'll get up and eat and go out one more time, and then they're done. Pigs typically go to bed when the sun goes down. And so they don't have good eyesight. And so when it's winter and our days are so much shorter, they're in bed all the time because when the sun is down, they're in bed. Pretty wild. So anyway, so they don't really snooze the whole winter away, but they kind of do. I wish I would have seen the trash bag come through the piggy door. I didn't see them do it. I just know that they did because of what we found. Yeah. Sid says she thinks they're saying they want natural organic bedding versus synthetic fleece. Oh, probably. And they would, I can't even imagine what they would do to it. they're vandals. They're definitely vandals. Oh, gosh. Well, that's what's new around here. Rico's been worrying me a little bit. You know, Rico's my really old guy. But about a year ago, he had a weird little growth in his mouth, and unfortunately, a biopsy showed that it was cancer, and a very aggressive cancer, but the vet said he maybe got it all, but there was really no way of knowing. There's no treatment for this cancer. He said we're just going to have to watch and wait and see, and that is what we've done. And he's done really well. The prognosis on that cancer was 3 to 6 months. And it's been almost 12. And there's a big part of me that thinks that it's gone, that he got it all. I mean, the spot where it was has fully healed up. But there was just no way to know whether it was systematic or not, or systemic at that point. But he's done really good. Until about the last 3 weeks, he has gotten really picky about food, which is not completely unheard of for Rico. He's like that. He does not feel like he's in any pain or like any part of him is struggling or suffering. I don't feel any kind of anything like that in him. He's just not interested in food. So we had worked out a rotation of different things that he is willing to eat, but you can't give them to him every day. You really have to cycle, which is fine. Finally, last week, we settled on a rotisserie chicken. He would eat that. So he was getting a little chicken stew, really finely chopped chicken with a tiny bit of half and half, some CBD oil, and a little bit of pumpkin. And he was eating that really, really good. And then one day he decided he didn't want that anymore. But he did eat beef. And now we're back to chicken. And the dog food is out. He won't eat any kind of dog food now. Fresh Pet, which he was doing really good on. No. So my gut's telling me that this is just his age showing and his finickiness. Because he's always been picky. My panic wants to be, oh my God, there's something going on here. I get no sense of it. So we're just babying him along. I have to remember that regardless of that diagnosis, he is 12 years old. So he is a geriatric doggy. And he's acting like it. But yeah. But my mom heart worries. You know. You know how it is. However, I also have to remind myself that when it gets cold, that dog spends 99.9% of his time burrowed in blankets, period. That's how he's been for many years. So that's not a symptom. That's just Rico being Rico. Anyway, but all the extra love for Rico, I appreciate. Again, I think I'm just being dramatic and he's actually fine. But you know how it is. We worry. My sense is, though, that he is fine. Okay, well, let's get into Luminous. I have a link here for you. Okay, I did more of a Dia de los Muertos cover because that's kind of what we're talking about today. Can you believe one more show before Halloween? One! Also, happy birthday to Scott on Saturday. He will finally be as old as me. Which kind of sucks. This period from my birthday in June to his birthday in October, that's when I get to be in charge. Obviously, I'm the older spouse, but it's coming to a close. As if. Okay. Well, I called this episode, I do it every time, every week. I called this magazine the Samhain Secrets Edition because we are talking about Samhain today and just being in the season of the spirits. Oh. So Micah came home this weekend, which was nice. His birthday gift to his dad was his time and his manpower. Because, you know, Scott, first of all, is a man of many hobbies, but also, you know, there's sometimes things he needs help with that I'm totally unable to do. And so it's nice, you know, if we can get a kid home here and there to offer a little manpower. So it was awesome. He came home Friday, went home on Sunday. They got a ton of things accomplished. It was just really nice to have him home, but also so nice for Scott to get some things checked off of his list that were going to be things he needed help with one way or another. Now, we do have nephews around that we could hire to come over, and they're pretty good about it, but, you know, it's always hard to find the right time and stuff like that. But it's not very often that Scott and Micah get to have, like, a whole day in the garage and shop and yard and doing all their stuff. So it was nice. It was good to have him home. All right. My article this week is the history of honoring the dead in the fall. I was just thinking about so many different cultures that have fall celebrations for the dead. And, you know, a lot of mediums will say, and I totally agree with this, that the fall seems to be the time when the veil or the other side seems thinner. They seem closer. There seems to be less of a gap between us or more of a bridge. So on that front, it doesn't surprise me that much. But I wanted to look at a few different celebrations so that we can talk about it a little bit. Obviously, the changing of the seasons indicate death and rebirth, at least here in the Western Hemisphere. And as the trees lose their leaves, the plants die back, the earth starts to go to bed. It seems like a natural time to celebrate or at least mark the death phase of life. So we'll talk about Samhain, of course, the Celtic festival of the dead. Samhain has really gotten to be a lot more well known as kind of a pagan holiday or a Wiccan holiday. So this is obviously one of the most well-known autumn festivals honoring the dead. You've all heard of Samhain, I would assume. So it was celebrated by the ancient Celts in what is now Ireland, Scotland, and other parts of Northern Europe. Samhain marked the end of the harvest season and the beginning of winter, or the darker half of the year. The Celts believed that during Samhain, the veil between the living and the dead was at its thinnest. Spirits of the dead could cross over to visit the world of the living, and it was common to set places at the table for deceased loved ones or light bonfires to guide their spirits home. People wore costumes and masks to protect themselves from any mischievous or malevolent spirits wandering the earth. You know, Halloween, what we do. And then, of course, Dia de los Muertos, honoring the ancestors in Mexico and other South American traditions. So this is where, like, the sugar skulls came from. So this celebration has roots in ancient cultures in Mexico, like the Aztecs. The Aztecs had a month-long festival dedicated to honoring the dead. Can you imagine a month-long festival? There'd probably be more dead by the time it was over. So when they were colonized and they were introduced to the Catholic holiday All Saints Day or All Souls Day, those traditions basically merged. So now on November 1st and 2nd, Dia de los Muertos is a colorful, joyful celebration of life and death. I think I've already said this, but if you guys have not watched Coco, go watch Coco. Coco is the cutest, sweetest. It's a movie. It's a cartoon. It's a Disney cartoon. I promise you. I don't care if you are 100 years old. This is not just for children. It is the sweetest, sweetest movie. It will move you. I promise. So this was a time, is a time for families to build altars. They decorate them with marigolds, candles, sugar skulls, favorite foods, drinks. The belief is that the souls of the dead return to the world of the living for these 2 days, and it's an opportunity to celebrate and honor them. And then, of course, the Christian traditions of All Souls Day and All Saints Day. So November 1st is All Saints Day, and All Souls Day is November 2nd. These are dedicated to remembering the dead, with All Saints Day honoring saints and martyrs, and All Souls Day set aside for praying for the souls of all the faithful departed. And then, Qingming. This is the autumn remembrance festivals in Asia. This was a fun part of researching this article because I didn't know that about the Asian culture's fall festivals. So in China, the Qingming Festival, or Tomb Sweeping Day, happens in early April. So I guess it's not so much in the fall, but it's a time when families clean the graves of their ancestors and make offerings of food, incense, and joss paper. In Japan, the Buddhist Obon Festival takes place in late summer and early autumn and involves lighting lanterns to guide the spirits of the ancestors back to the realm of the living. Families gather to honor the dead, often visiting ancestral graves and holding memorial services. Pretty interesting. And I know that's just the beginning. There are many other cultures as well that have some kind of a fall celebration of life and death or celebrating their past loved ones, which I think is pretty fun. Yeah. Now, keeping with the spirit, Kelly, you're going to kill me on this one. I'm going to say it's Michikatl. Michikatl? That might be totally wrong. If anybody knows and can say it phonetically in the chat, please do. She says, Michikatl, if you say it three times, does she appear like Beetlejuice? Let's hope not. This is the Aztec name of the goddess from whom the lore and traditions around Dia de los Muertos originate. Really great article. I absolutely loved it. This is the Aztec goddess that dominated Mesoamerica from the 14th to 16th centuries. Read her article. If you scroll all the way to the bottom, there's a big spot there that gives you an opportunity to listen to the podcast where she discusses this goddess right here. So be sure that you do that as well. But Kelly, this was fantastic. Awesome information. Okay, my tip this week is my Samhain bath potion. Combine sea salt, frankincense, clary sage, lemongrass, and vanilla essential oils for a perfectly magical bath. Why? Well, because these are all oils that help to open up your intuition and help to help you to astral travel. So if you're wanting to enhance your dreams, astral travel, even commune with the dead, this is a great blend. So again, it's sea salt, frankincense, clary sage, lemongrass, and vanilla. Just a couple of drops of each. And then soak before bed to enhance dreams and encourage astral travel. And again, if a part of that is your desire to commune with the dead, just make that known to your guidance as you're going to sleep. Christy's energy exercise this week is the calm mind. Yes, please. I could use some. There's plenty of crime over at True Crime Squad, per normal. These are the three trials that we're covering right now. Sarah Boone, Richard Allen, and Leilani Simon. All right, Jamie has a brand new video as well. Lots of meditations over at Planet Meditation. And that's it for Luminous this week. So I hope you found some gems in there. That's what I have got. Yeah. I look chilly. I am chilly. Well, this trial that we're streaming is in Florida, and it starts at 9 a.m. Florida time, which is 7 a.m. my time. So I'm getting up a little earlier than normal, but I am chilly. It's cold in here. It's just cold. We've turned our heat on. Sucks. I don't want to turn on the heat until, you know, like November, because what it does to our bill, my God. So I try to hold out. Like, can't you get in that sweet spot for at least a couple of months where there's no AC and no heat in the fall and in the spring? Kind of, but. So am I chilly? Yes. Am I okay? Also, yes. Actually, you know, I've talked a little bit about that. I started a new infusion over the summer for RA, a new treatment. And it started really rough. The first one, I was so sick. I was sick for many days. The second one, so the first one is a loading dose. They hit you pretty hard, and then they do it again 2 weeks later. It sucked. And then I didn't have to do it again for a month, and I was very sick that time too. And then I got a two-month break that I've been on, and I had to have the next one last Thursday. You guys, it didn't make me sick. My doctor promised at some point you're going to adjust and you might have a couple of tired days, but it's not going to make you this sick. And that's right. That's what happened. So I'm happy to report that I had my infusion last Thursday. I was very tired and went to bed early Thursday night, and that's about it. So yay, it is helping me. I am feeling somewhat better, and I'm not getting sick from it. So anyway, amazing news. I'm really excited. They said that you have to give it a good 6 months before you really know if it's going to work or if you're going to stay sick from it. And I was, you know, if I was super sick this time, I was thinking about, you know, pulling the plug, but no. Yeah. No, because it's a Plaquenil. Oh, I'm on Plaquenil. Yeah, I've been on Plaquenil for years. Yep. It does help. Plaquenil has helped me with energy levels like a ton. Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, that's super good news. I'm happy to report it. Kev says, wait, you sleep? Oh, Kevin, I have hard and fast rules about sleep. 8 hours, guaranteed. JR jumped out of the True Crime Squad chat to come over here and chat with us for a while. Well, good. Oh, Laurie said she turned her heat on in the morning, her air conditioner in the afternoon, and her heat again at night, right? We're kind of in that spot. In fact, Scott and I were in the car 2 days ago, and he had the window, well, he had the AC on for a while, and I had, on his side, and I had my heated seat on, freezing to death on my side. One of the few things that Scott and I do not agree on is temperature. Yep. Oh, JR said that's exactly what her doc said with her injection. 1 month down. Well, I will hold space for you and give you hope. Also, I'm going to keep saying this until the election. Have you registered? Are you registered to vote? Or have you voted? If you have early voting, go vote. We voted via, we did absentee because I don't want to have to go stand in line with a lot of people. That sounded terrible, but no, I don't want to do that. No. And this time, definitely no. So we absentee voted, partly also because our kids all are still registered to vote here in our county because they're students. You know, this is still their permanent residence, and so we did absentee so that they could vote. So anyway, we've all voted and turned in our ballots, and now the girls are like, wait a minute, I needed that I voted sticker so that I can prove that I voted. So now I'm printing some I voted stickers and sending to them. So, yeah. Anyway, if you haven't voted or you're not registered to vote, please repair that immediately. Vote. Sleep is the most important thing in the world. I agree with that. And I think that a serious lack of sleep is one of the things that may be considered, you know, a part of chronic illness that people don't really grasp. I think two things, actually, that people who have chronic illness may or may not have considered. One of them is a chronic lack of sleep, and the other one is being chronically dehydrated. I think those are two things that are easy to consider to work on. I know not everybody sleeps very well. I mean, sleep can be a huge, huge issue for people with their health and mental health as well. When you see what happens to people that are deprived sleep, like through torture, when you see what happens to their brains, you need sleep. You need adequate sleep. Your mind has to have that rest. Your body has to have that rest. I'm with you 100% on that, Laurie. Yeah. Sherry said, my doctor asked me if I get up fully rested. What is that? So now I sleep in on the weekend until I feel fully rested. That's a hard one because we go hard and then we set alarms so that we get jerked out of sleep in the morning, whether you're ready to get up or not. And that is a hard one. Typically for me, I wake up naturally. I'm lucky enough to get to do that. That usually the dogs will allow it, the pigs will allow it. My hips are, you know, my hips say 8 hours and that's it. But at any rate, but yeah, sleep is incredibly important. Years ago when I directed a child care center in conjunction with a daycare or with a partial care. So my sister-in-law Rhonda directed the partial care side. She's a therapist. And I directed the daycare side and the nutrition program. And we had a blast working together. But the owner of the center was not in a place of reality about a child care center in a lot of ways. And the partial care kids received daily therapy groups that was more of a mental health care setting. But we had kids, just regular, you know, old daycare kids in there too. And so it was an interesting dynamic amongst the kids. But it was great. There were a lot of things about that center that were really great. But one time, it was nap time. Like, obviously, right? You have a whole center full of children, you're going to put them down for naps. Duh. And so it was after lunch. And after lunch, we did a story hour and a nap time. And we had mats for every single kid, as you do in childcare, that are labeled with their name. And this is their space. And we had a different space for the babies and the toddlers. And, you know, very typical childcare setting nap time. And the owner came in. And he was pissed. And he called Rhonda and I into a meeting. And he said that he wanted to know why we were wasting therapeutic time by allowing the kids to sleep. Yeah. He didn't think that sleep was therapeutic. Which is insane to me. It's as insane then. It sounds insane to me as much as it was when we had that conversation. Rhonda and I were dumbfounded. Because sleep is therapeutic? Like, what are you even talking about? Sleep is therapeutic. It didn't take us very long to convince him that he's an idiot and that sleep is therapeutic. But I've always since then, though, looked at sleep in that sense. Sleep is therapeutic. When you're sick, when you're sad, when you're overwhelmed, when you're a human, you have to have sleep. Jessica said, I have issues with sleeping. I have no illness, but I still have no sleep. I get 4 hours each night and then wide awake. Yeah, it's a very frustrating thing if sleep is an issue. Scott has sleep issues too. And I really empathize with that because sleep is that important. Yeah. I think it's worth going to whatever steps you need to get the sleep that you need because it is that important. But yeah, it's hard. Jessica's been to a child care facility that did not have nap time. Oh my gosh. Whew. No, I would never do that. I told people when they put their kids in my center, they will have a nap. And if that's a problem, this might not be a good fit for you. Because occasionally you'll have parents that are like, don't let her sleep. Don't let her sleep or she won't sleep tonight. You know, and by 1 o'clock she's screaming and crying and so tired she doesn't know what to do with herself and her eyes are falling closed. And these parents literally expect us to keep these children awake? No way in hell. No way in hell. If your kid needs to sleep, they're going to sleep. And all kids need to sleep. Yeah. But I can't imagine a daycare where kids don't get to sleep that there's not just a horde of grumpy kids, right? I just can't. I would never do that. Ever. But many, many times over the years, I had parents that were shocked. They'd be like, well, good luck to you, but she doesn't nap. She does not nap. Even when she needs to. We can't get her down for a nap. We can't get her to bed. She won't sleep. Day one, I'd have that kid asleep. And the parents were always really shocked. Like, how did you do that? How did you get her to sleep? Everyone else was sleeping. It's usually that simple. The peer pressure of sleeping is for real. But, right? Kids will fall asleep standing up. I've always marveled at kids sound asleep in shopping carts and restaurants and busy places and just have completely surrendered. Can you imagine? That'd be something. Yeah. Yeah. Hilarious. Anyway, I've always marveled at that. Let's see. Laura, it's good to see you. Gotta get back to your comment. Okay. Not feeling great. I'm glad that you're here at least, but yes, I'd love to do a little healing for you. Okay. Okay. All right. Just giving you a quick clearing and healing here. I am sorry you're under the weather, but I am glad that you got to join us today. I'm going to put a chi ball around your head. Just feel a lot of pressure up in your sinuses. I'm going to call in the ethereal energy of aquamarine and put an aqua chi ball around your head. Good. Okay. Better. Oh, okay. She said she's had COVID and feeling yucky in her sinuses and brain fog. Well, no wonder that's what I was feeling. Yep. Aw, JR's still sick too. Yeah, let's get on that for you as well. Okay, JR. Your system just seems so depleted. So doing a little grounding and clearing for you, but I'm also going to put a Herkimer diamond in your crown chakra because that helps to just raise your physical energy. Okay, good. Okay, alrighty, so that's done. Hopefully we can help you to kick it and to perk up. Okay, well, as promised, this was going to be a little shorter show today. And so I think I'm going to call it right here. I will be back next week, same place, same time. Oh, real quick. Sid said, could you see if I have an energy block that caused my right index finger to get swelled up and inflamed? Maybe connected to neck spine or root chakra. Okay, yeah, let's take a look. Okay, I don't know if it's connected to your finger, but your root chakra is pretty out of whack. So I'm going to fix that first. Because once that's fixed, everything else is going to start doing what it's supposed to. Okay. That is done. I'm going to balance your crown too while I'm at it. And just looking at that hand. You know, Sid, I actually think that is some arthritis. I don't feel like it was energetic, but I am going to put some energy down your, all the way down your arm and out your hand to see if we can release anything that might have blocked up because of it. Okay. And then I'm going to balance your palm chakra too, since we're right here. If you've got some frankincense, cut that with a little coconut oil and try rubbing that into that finger good a couple of times a day. But yeah, you've got a joint issue going on here. Okay, so that is done. Okay, guys. Well, I'm going to call it. So, I want to thank you so much for being here. I appreciate you very much. Don't forget, I am a professional psychic advisor over at 12listen.com. You can find me over there. Well, pretty much every single day. If you go over and I'm not there, just do a callback request or a scheduled call and I'll get right back with you. But I would love to help you out in any way that I can. Thanks so much for being here. This has been yet another production of The Katie Weaver Show here on 12 Radio, where we're changing the way you listen.